Hello, everybody. It's the happy hour once again. Yes, happy, 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 joy, joy. It's ABW Radio. I'm your host, Chris. You know me, the piratey bloke. And I got the one with the shit beard and the one called Ellis with me. Hello.
Hello. Sorry.
Hello.
Oh, Christ. Jesus. It's a good start, isn't it? Right. Hello, everybody. Good evening to you all. I hope you're well. Probably a silly thing to say, but there is more to life than football. So hopefully we find everybody in fine fettle, other than the obvious. Right, let's get straight to it then. Let's not fuck about. Just warning, if you are listening to this with children, put the fuckers to bed, because this ain't going to be pleasant. John, do you want to kick us off? What the fuck happened tonight? What a shit show.
Oh, that was 45 minutes of... Was that the worst performance this season? See, this is terrible. I have to quantify it now and think about all the other games we've been bad in. But I think that probably was the worst 45 minutes I've seen from Arsenal this season. Second half was a bit better for sort of 15 minutes. And then we dropped off again. It was just, took the other team for granted, thought it was going to be an easy win. I don't know, maybe thinking about Chelsea coming up at the weekend. Just everything about it was so poor. No passing, couldn't keep the ball, were second to every 50-50, weren't winning headers. The shape of the team was all wrong. The defensive line was all over the place. They were arguing amongst themselves at times. They weren't communicating properly. And were it not for Petacek, we could have conceded more goals. It was nice to have a bit of a response, a bit of a bounce in the start of the second half. But by then it's too late. It doesn't matter how, you know, Watford aren't a great team. But it doesn't matter how bad the opposition are. You've still got to respect them and go out and perform. And we didn't do it. He made a lot of changes from the Cup game, most of which I agreed with, to be honest, because you've got the Chelsea game coming up. But just, I don't know what was going through the player's head in the first half. It was just fucking awful. Just some of the absolute comedy of errors of giving away stupid free kicks in, you know, stupid areas of the pitch to a huge team like Watford, who are much bigger than us, who are going to win headers and things like that. You know, no one in the team, I think, other than Cech, did themselves any justice really tonight. For the full 90 minutes. So from the centre-backs all the way up to up front was just... And it's performances like that that consistently happen throughout the season at different times, especially starting the game slowly, that just make me think we're not going to win the league. Just every single season, I go in thinking the same thing's going to happen. We'll flatter to deceive for a couple of games, look like we're going to go on a good run, and then we'll cock it up against teams we shouldn't be. Especially tonight, you know, when Chelsea... go and draw Liverpool, Spurs draw, you know, knowing I like fucking Man United will probably end up losing tomorrow. It's just typical.
Yeah, well summed up. A mixture of frustration and crapness. Ellis, what did you make of it? I know you sort of gave up midway, or was it second half or midway through second half? I did the same, to be fair.
I didn't even make it to the second half.
Is that a statement of almost the fact that we kind of have come to get used to this now? Is that what it's a sign of?
I think it's a combination of a few things, really. Like the fact that the game's not even on TV, so you're trying to stream it, and when you're struggling to go from stream to stream, and you sort of see that performance, it doesn't fill you with a lot of motivation to find another website and find another stream. It was just sort of like, I'd rather just listen to the Arsenal commentary than go through all that hassle. I'll just echo a lot of what John said, really. It's something that we sort of come to expect. It's the reason why this Arsenal team in the last however many years hasn't won the title, and the reason why it won't win the title in the future, because we just slip up, especially in games that we really shouldn't slip up in. We also slip up again in games that we're expected to slip up in, but that's besides the point. It's a shame. You sort of like went into this game. Me personally, probably like what the players did today, I sort of thought this is a game that we should win, and I didn't really think much of it. I was looking forward more to the sort of the Chelsea game and thinking, right, and sort of I even put a tweet out saying, come on Liverpool, do us a favour, get some points off Chelsea, and they sort of half did that. And again, we failed to sort of capitalise. It's the same old stuff, and it is quite frustrating, but it's also... very familiar, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is all too familiar. I should say, obviously, if you're tuning in live, thanks for joining us. If you're going to take part in the chat box, please keep it civil. I know there's a lot of people as cheesed off as we are, but yeah, just be nice to each other, because that's how we like it in here. Okay, to be honest, it's probably not going to be the regular show because, quite frankly, I can't be bothered to go through the team because there's really not a lot to say. I think we all probably expected the lineup we got. Just one thing I want to pick up on in the lineup. John, were you surprised that Hector Bellerin was not reinstalled to the starting lineup? Was that just a bit of caution from the manager, do you think? Or were you surprised he wasn't in that lineup when the teams were announced?
I was a little bit. I assume it was just a precautionary thing to make sure he's fully fit and raring to go for the Chelsea game. Gabriel's done all right. He didn't tonight, but he had up to this point done okay actually at right back. And Wenger has spoken about in one of his press conferences recently when he was talking about maybe Debussy or Cole Jenkinson going, and that they were quite covered in that area. So it might have made a little bit of difference tonight. You never know, because obviously Bellerin does offer you a lot more going forwards than Gabriel does. But it wasn't too big a surprise, I suppose, because coming back from if you're out for a few weeks, you just need to ease them back into the team sometimes. It's the same with, you know, like what he's done with Welbeck and a few of the other players coming back. Walcott, the same as well. I think the plan was, you know, everything would be going well, we'd be winning, and you could bring on those sort of players for 20, 30 minutes at the end to get some more minutes in their legs before the Chelsea game.
Yeah, I think he'll be back in the side for that. Sticking with you, let's just sort of do the bits and bobs of the game before we go into individual performances, where it will probably turn a little bit ranty. So warning in advance. What did you make of the opening goal? For me, there was mistakes all over the shop. I will take back slightly my original view that Ramsey's turned his back. I still think he bottles it, if I'm honest. I still think it's not the best attempt to get in front of the ball. But you'd have to say as well, is it Iwobi jumping in front of the free kick? Not exactly committed. And for me, I know he made a good save later on. Patrick's got to save that. I don't know what... It can't be his age because, you know, keepers come into their prime at his age. He looks like an old man to me. I don't know, you know, I don't know if that's a view you share, but I just thought that whole thing was, it was a poor goal to concede. It was obvious Cabal was going to hit it. And it was just, I just thought it was a bit of a shit show throughout. What did you make of it? The free kick, the foul for the free kick and the free kick itself?
I thought the foul was a little bit generous, but I thought, you know, Mustafi doesn't need to make it there. He doesn't need to make that attempt to win the ball. The player's facing away from goal. He's not really causing a threat there. But that was sort of the problem with the midfield not covering the back four enough for at the start of the game. The two centre mids there, neither Ramsey nor Coquelin were helping at all. But yeah, you're right. It was so clear that Cabal was going to hit it, and the wall looked to be set up wrong. I don't put that much blame on Ramsey myself. I think he did all he could, which was try and get a leg to it. I don't know, there's a few people I saw said that he could have tried and thrown himself in front of it, but then you risk maybe giving away a penalty because, you know, these days they give it, even if the ball's hit from like half a yard away at your hand, they still give you a penalty for that. So I don't think he did too much wrong. As for Cech, I think he's a little bit harsh because he's diving, and I think the dive he's made has got it covered until it gets the deflection. Maybe he can get it, and maybe he's a little bit slower to getting down than he used to. I know he's coming into some criticism, but I actually thought in the game he made some really important saves that, if he hadn't been there, then we maybe would have conceded some more. But just the whole setup of the defence, the way where the wall was, that's obviously down to Cech. Maybe it's part down to the defenders as well, not listening to him and not communicating it quick enough. But yeah, it was just a really sloppy and stupid goal to concede. And the biggest issue was our response to it, in the fact that we didn't respond at all. We didn't then go, right, we just need to tighten up for 5-10 minutes, just keep it close, and then we'll start afresh as if it's 0-0 then, you know, and then go at it. We didn't. We just completely switched off, and it really gave us a wobble, and obviously then we concede the second.
It does, Ellis, I'll come to you. It does get a deflection, the free kick. I mean, obviously Ramsey gets something on it, which I think that's my issue with the Ramsey situation. You know, I say I'll retract my original comment at the first glance of seeing it, saying he turned his back. I think it's more the fact that he doesn't fully commit one way or the other. He sort of goes towards it, then goes, like almost John says, I don't want to throw my hands at it, I don't want to block it away and risk giving away a penalty. So he almost half commits, and because of that it takes a nick off him and goes past Cech. But you, what do you think of the goalkeeper's situation there? Because like John said, it was so obvious he was going to hit it, and surely you know, even at very low level of football, you surely must, as a goalkeeper, think this could get a nick. This could be a situation where it could get a flick off somebody and go, you know, the opposite way off the wall. And if you look at Cech's positioning, yes, when the ball is hit, he's positioned well, but his footwork to move when the deflection comes in, I mean, I've seen my granddad move quicker and he's been dead 2 years. What did you think of that situation?
I sort of do agree with John in the point that if it hasn't took that deflection, I think he's got that covered. But then you can also, like you've just mentioned as well, his positioning for it wasn't too great. And he has been susceptible to these sort of things this season. He's getting on a bit and you can sort of see why he might not be as agile as he used to be. But it's certainly a concern. I didn't think he was too much to blame. I think he's been more culpable for some of the errors previous in the season, especially at his near post. But yeah, like you said, Ramsey didn't really put his body in, like, in the way of it. It was sort of a half-hearted attempt by him, and that sort of comes nicks off and does ever so slightly change the direction. But I think it was already going on target. So I think you can't. I think I wouldn't argue with anyone if they said that Cech should have done better. He probably should have done. But I just don't know. I don't know. Really, a lot of people are calling for Ospina to sort of start ahead of him. But in my opinion, I think Cech is still a better keeper than Ospina. He's just had a few rickets this season, which is a worry, and certainly a worry going into the future, because he's not getting any younger, is he? And we are going to have to start to find someone to replace him. And if he's still first choice as Ospina, can be happy playing in the cup games every now and again, maybe he might go off and then we'll have a real problem on our hands. So I don't know, really. I don't really know what to say.
No, I mean, I know what you mean. It's one of those nights, isn't it, where you just wonder what the bloody hell to say. John, let's talk about the second goal. Absolute shit show from start to finish. Gabriel, who, I mean, seriously, you know, I hear people say on a regular basis in the chat box on Twitter, oh, he's improved. Oh, he's been better. Well, yeah, well, it doesn't make you better. I'm sorry, the kid is not good enough. I'm not, you know, yeah, he's passionate and yeah, he looks a bit scary and yeah, he has the odd good tackle. He's a fucking defender, for Christ's sake. Defend. I mean, that throw-in, if that happened on a school ground pitch, you'd ban the kid from playing football again. What the hell were you thinking about throwing that ball into the centre of the pitch? I mean, the very first thing you are taught when you're taking a throw in your own half is you go down the line. You don't throw it inside, particularly when your fucking midfielder has got two people marking him. You know, I'm not excusing Mr. Ramsey completely, because if you watch the replays, okay, yeah, he's caught in possession. It's not his fault because he's thrown into trouble, but his tracking back is abysmal, as is Coquelin's. They both try and make a tackle. Neither of them get anywhere near it. And then they both just amble back. And then obviously Cech is a bit unlucky. Ball falls to Troy Deeney, and frankly, John, you'd have put that away. But I mean, what did you make of the entire situation for that second goal? It's just inexcusable at this level, surely.
I've got no idea what Gabriel's doing. I know they are taught to, yeah, you can give the ball to a player when he's under pressure, but Ramsey's being marked by two men. And like you say, if he loses it there, he's straight in at our back four and Gabriel's obviously out of position. So I do think part of the blame goes to Ramsey there. I don't think he didn't track back quick enough, that's for sure. Coquelin then made absolutely no attempt to tackle Kapua, and Mustafi's there screaming his head off and then does exactly the same thing, just lets him go past him. Doesn't make any attempt to challenge for the ball, doesn't try and stand him up, lets him go past. He gets the shot off. Cech does, you know, what he can, gets down. It's hard, low to the ground, so it's difficult to get. He does his best, scrambles out in a direction. Troy Deeney does what a good striker does and just sniffs out a chance and he's in the right place at the right time. Koscielny isn't aware of where Troy Deeney is. I have no idea. Why Monreal so late in getting back? Ramsey was too slow to get back. Coquelin made no tackle. Mustafi made no tackle. I didn't see where Gabriel went in the entire thing. Maybe he's just standing there on the sideline wondering why Ramsey hasn't got the ball and we're going up the other end. I've got no idea what he's doing. It was just such a soft goal to concede. And then you can see that there's serious disorganisation between the players, because they're all arguing amongst themselves about whose fault it was, rather than going, right, no, we've, you know, wake up, we've got to sort this out. you pull in 5 yards tight and no one's organising everything else. The thing we've been really praising Mustafi for since he's come into the club is sort of talking, organising, firing people up. And he wasn't doing it. And the only thing I saw him shouting a lot about was shouting at the referee and moaning about some fouls and stuff. Which, yeah, fair. I don't think the referee was fantastic in the game. But I don't think that's any sort of excuse. Well, instead of whinging at ref, you know, pull your players in. Say to them, right, you know, Ramsey, you've got to drop five yards. Coquelin, come in a little bit more. If Ramsey goes forward, you've got to sit. Gabriel, tuck in a little bit more to the side. You know, pull Iwobi back when he's not covering for you. Things like that. It just wasn't happening throughout the game. And to be perfectly honest, we're lucky that we didn't go in like 3 or 4 goals down at half time because we were an absolute shit show in the first half.
Yeah, well said. Well said. Alice, what did you make of the second goal? I mean, I say we'll come on to individuals in a moment other than what I've already touched on. But, you know, anything to add to what John said? I think he's covered it pretty well, to be fair. But anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, I think John did cover that really well. Like, I've just been watching it over again, and it's just to highlight how slow Ramsey is getting back. It's like he's literally running with a parachute on his back. I know, like, we've just both all summarised that Gabriel sort of put him in that position in the first place, but his attempt to track back is woeful. Like, it's just literally, he's nowhere to be seen. And like, Coquelin makes a slightly better attempt and doesn't really get in there. And Capoue just, no one seems to really touch him. And after they'd scored that goal, there was another chance as well. I don't know what Watford player it was, but it's a similar sort of thing. This player seemed to like waltz through and get past so many of our players. No one's really putting in a good sort of tackle. Two or three sort of players are drawn towards the ball, leaving other Watford players opening in space, but they're not really making a concerted effort to actually win the ball. So really, they're not doing anything. They've just left their man and just sort of stood there or thereabouts, really. And then they have another good chance. And luckily, Cech sort of made the save that time around and kept us in it, even though obviously we didn't really go on to do anything from there except from getting the one goal. But it was just really poor. That whole first half was really poor. Some of the chances Watford are creating, they just, it's the typical sort of thing. It's sort of strong teams, physical teams get in our face and we concede one goal and then we all just seem to go a bit to pot and can't control the ball and we're sort of arguing with each other, shouting at, like, digging each other out. And really, some of our players should really look at themselves and think, like, I need to sort myself out, let alone shouting at Gabriel for fucking up or shouting at Monreal for not tracking back. I should be sorting myself out as well. But no one really seems to take charge in that half. And a lot of people have made the fact or the point about, obviously, Boldy coming in for Wenger and saying that, oh, we want Boldy to win, and then that will show how bad Wenger is. But he's like, who knows, if Wenger was actually in the dressing room at half-time or there in the stands, maybe he might have saw that and they might have come out a bit better the second half. Who knows? They did come out better second half, but obviously, ultimately, we didn't go on to do any better. We got a goal, but we didn't get any points.
Agreed. Should say at this point as well, at the risk of alienating some of our viewers, if you want to talk about Wenger and Wenger out, as a channel somewhere else where lots of people will be shouting and screaming incoherently at a camera, you can go and speak to them because I'm not interested in that debate tonight. I'm going to talk about the game and nothing more. So, sorry. John, what about the response we got? I mean, second half, response was the minimum, really, you expected. Substitution made at half time, which, you know, I think had to be made. See a Walcott come on. He was a bit unlucky with two sort of presentable chances. And then we got the goal back from Iwobi. And at that stage, I think you probably would have said there was a good chance we could go on and get something out of the game. The goal itself, what did you sort of make of it? Was it a tidy finish or was it a miss hit? Because as it came across, I thought he was going to put it in the near post and somehow ended up in the far post and Gomez ended up in the net. So what did you make of that?
No, I thought it was a really good finish. Iwobi was like the rest of the team really poor in the first half, didn't do anything, didn't show anything. Second half, the whole team came out, played with a much quicker tempo. I think the substitution clearly worked. Giroud was not in the game at all. I can't honestly remember him touching the ball. He probably did in the first half, but I don't really remember him making a contribution. You know, Walcott comes on, Alexis goes up front. It's a front three again. We've seen it when Alexis played there, we're much quicker. We move the ball faster. There's a higher tempo. Iwobi from the start of the second half was running at his man, taking him on, trying to beat him, get to the byline, trying to make something happen. And it was Alexis Sanchez, probably his best contribution in the game, because I don't think he had a particularly good game either, to be honest. I thought he was pretty poor, gave the ball away a lot, wasn't passing it quick enough, and was trying to do everything himself like he sometimes has a habit of doing. But it was a really clever run along the line, and a sort of like I think Steve described it best as like a golf chip up to the back post. And Iwobi's finish was really good. He sent Gomez the wrong way, flying into the net, looked like a right tit, which was nice, obviously being ex-Spurs. But yeah, it was a good goal. And I thought at that point, because the amount of pressure we'd been putting on them, I thought we were probably going to go on and at least get a draw, if not win it. Because I thought Watford just looked completely knackered. They were totally out of puff. Troy Deeney was up front getting nothing, not like in the first half. Barami looked like he was done, who obviously came off a bit later. I didn't think Niang would last that long, to be honest, after watching him at Milan all season. I was surprised he stayed on that long. And I thought we were going to go on and win the game, but we got the goal and we just didn't press that advantage and didn't take the chances that we got. I saw a lot of people saying that Gomez had a good game in goal. I thought he made one good save. There was a really good little interchange between Iwobi and Oxlade-Chamberlain, a little 1-2 and a back heel on the box. That Iwobi did a really good sort of no-look shot inside to the near post that Gomez got down to. It was a very, very good save. But the rest of them, they're all straight at him. You know, they weren't superb saves. They were saves you'd expect most goalkeepers in the Premier League to make. So I think we made it too easy, didn't take advantage. And regardless of the quality of the team in the Premier League, you cannot give up two goals and then expect to come back and win the game if you're not taking your chances properly and communicating well. Theo Walcott came on, had a really good chance that he shot straight at Gomez. I mean, Gomez did well. He stayed on his feet as long as possible. But Walcott didn't make him force a decision of whether to go down or whether he's going to chip him or go around him or anything else. He should be finishing that, the form he's been in. And then he was non-existent for the rest of the game. And it just petered out. And Watford got that second win and just held on. And, you know, fair play to them. They did exactly what they needed to get a result. Got 3 points. I thought they defended pretty well. There were some dodgy fouls from them, I thought. A couple that could have been yellow cards that weren't given. But other than that, I thought, to be honest, they deserved the 3 points and we didn't, because we just weren't at it long enough. You can't afford to play well for 15 minutes in a game and expect to win it. You can't do that in the Premier League. I think there's very bad teams in the Premier League, but regardless of how bad they are, you cannot afford to put in performances that are only 15 minutes in a game. It's just not good enough.
No, I agree. And you can't be expected to, give any team a 2-goal head start and expect to win. I know we had obviously the crazy game at Bournemouth and whatnot, but that Bournemouth game really, if anything, should have been a warning that games like this are never going to be easy. And I know Danny laughed at me when I said we'd stuff Southampton, and I actually said we beat Watford 1-0, and he laughed at me. He said, "Oh, we'll smash Watford." I was like, "Danny, this is us. This is Arsenal in a midweek game under the lights with all the pressure on us to win. This is exactly the sort of game that we cock up." And so it proved. Ellis has obviously had enough and he's gone. So I'm sure he'll be back. either that or we were joking pre-pod and we were saying,
"Oh, there he is.
Oh, he's back." We were joking pre-pod and say we might have a live hanging. Ellis, had you gone to tie the rope or?
I was going to after that from my internet. When I think my internet's got the same sort of feelings I have at the moment. Jesus.
Well, I mean, don't tease us, mate. I mean, you know, if you're gonna top yourself. I mean, you know, let's get it going.
Please don't top yourself.
I can't afford the insurance. Okay, so I think, to be honest, I mean, we could sit here and talk about the chances we missed. I mean, I'd say Walcott had a couple. I think Lucas Perez hit the bar late on. We had a couple of near things, but there wasn't a huge amount really. I mean, we could sit here and talk about the game, but let's be honest, people want to talk about some individual players. Okay, we'll start with Olivier Giroud. I'm trying to be professional here because it's very difficult, because I've seen a lot of bollocks spoken tonight, a lot of bollocks. I've seen people saying sell him. I've seen people saying he's not worthy of a contract. I've seen people saying that he's not as good as Benteke. Well, that was a classic. I mean, that one really was a king. And of course, I've seen the obligatory, "Oh, why couldn't we sign a world-class striker like Cavani?" Do fuck off. But Ellis, do you put it down to Giroud being picked? Do you put it down to him having an off night? People have got such short bloody memories, haven't they? You know, the guy has pulled us out of the fire time and time again. He had an off night. It happens. What was your sort of thoughts on his performance and the fact he was hooked at halftime?
Yeah, he didn't have a great first half, but let's be honest, who did? But when you're two goals behind after 13 minutes, you have to look to your forwards to sort of dig you out of that mess. And if you're not performing and something needs to change, then you are going to get hooked. But I think people are... He's one of those characters, and he's one of the scapegoats in our team. And like him or not, he does get a lot of goals for us. Before this game, he was 5-6. After this game, he's still 5-7, which isn't like a... in a bad record, but he is capable of going missing for a long period of games where he doesn't score. But then he's also capable of, like, he's just putting in the performance he has done for the last six or seven games. So I think for me, he is the perfect sort of option B, and we haven't had the option A. And I think that was when he was brought in initially, when him and Podolski came in after in the season, Van Persie left. I think that was initially the four. And you can see from the sort of Arsenal's transfer dealings in the summer's gone by and the transfer window's gone by that he is looking for another striker, and he has been looking for another striker. Another one's come in this season with Lucas Perez, who probably isn't as good quality as Giroud. But I do rate him because when you play to his strengths, when Arsenal play to his strengths, he is really good. He's a good, like, there's no one really in the team that can do the job that Giroud can do. Like, Alexis Sanchez, for all those plaudits and how good he is, he can't do the same job as Giroud does, and that's why it's good to have those two as options. But he just, I think what happened is the goals both went in and we were looking for some sort of movement, something different, and after Watford have got their two goals, it's fair play to them. They can sit back, they can defend that league. Two goals is a decent lead to defend, especially when you put lots of men behind and you know sort of how Arsenal are going to play. They're going to try and pass it around. They're not going to change it, like their tactic, because they've been doing it for so long. So the only way we could sort of get around that was by changing the system and taking them out and bringing on sort of Theo Walcott, which, like John said before I cut out, it gave us a bit more movement, and the fluidity between the front three was a lot better. You saw Iwobi came into the game more. He also created a chance for Walcott, and Sanchez had a bit more options to sort of cut back to, other than a particularly static Giroud as he was in the first half. But he has these games, Giroud does, and that's why we need to have the sort of players to swap and change. And it was good to see that we didn't sort of persevere too long and get to the 70th minute or whatever and then take him off, and it's given us too much of a mountain to climb. In the end, it didn't really happen anyway, but it gave us hope, and we were literally, what, 2 or 3 inches away from Lucas Perez getting the equaliser. So I think it had to happen. I think it was the right decision, but I don't think we should dig out Giroud too much. I think perhaps we should start with a more fluid front three and go back to sort of Sanchez, Walcott, and maybe Iwobi or Ox or Welbeck on the wings, just so we're a bit more fluid. And then if we're not scoring a goal, then it'll be a good time to introduce Giroud when the team that we're attacking is a bit more tired and used to having pace front forward, so they don't have to, like, contend within the air, and then we can start whipping balls into Giroud, and that's when we'll see the best of him.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of that. I think he's one of those strikers that if you don't have him and another club does, you look at and you go, oh, he'd probably do quite a good job for us. And then when you've got him, I think at times he is underappreciated, and at times he's frustrating. But, you know, I think we've always had strikers that have been frustrating in the past, and you know, people have got very short memories. I absolutely adore Thierry Henry, but he did have some pretty shit games in his time as well. And he could affect games, but he could also go missing in games. And that leads me rather nicely onto my next player, John, that I want to talk about. I like the guy. I hope he signs a new contract, but Alexis Sanchez has a nasty habit of going missing is the wrong phrase, because you can't miss a guy who works as hard as he does. But I do wonder if his work rate almost gives him a pass in the fact that he consistently turns the ball over. He's consistently working back to win the ball that he's lost in the first place. He drifts way out of position far too often. And I wonder if that's the reason why he's been shifted back to the left-hand side, because even when he was playing up front for us and as a centre-forward, yes, he was scoring goals and he looked the part, but he was still playing wherever the fuck he wanted to play. He never seems to hold a position. I think that affects us. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying, oh, yeah, just get rid of him on a free and ship him out. I love the guy, and he is quality. But he's not above criticism, is he? And once again tonight, I thought he was really, really poor. What do you think?
Yeah, as I said earlier, I thought his one contribution was obviously the assist. It was a really clever pass. But yeah, he was poor tonight. He was giving the ball away a lot. He wasn't passing it quick enough. He was trying to do a lot of things on his own, you know, trying to run through five, six players at a time and getting a shot off. And it's great when it works out. And I love Alexis. I think he's a wonderful player. And I do absolutely everything to keep him at the club because he's unbelievable. He's on his day. He is, without a doubt, not only one of the best players in the league, I think he's one of the best players in Europe. He's so good. But he does have a tendency to either overcomplicate things or try and do it on his own. I think he gets frustrated when he's put out on the left since he's had that time up front now. And I think it shows in games when he starts on the left-hand side and moves to up front. You see a lot more of him up then when he's moved, but also he tries to do a little bit too much more to try and influence the game. And I don't like that. It's great when he plays on the left and he has all that defensive work rate and everything else. It's wonderful. But it sort of ties into the Giroud thing. I think Giroud's better coming off the bench. And we look so much better and have done every game this season when Sanchez does start up front. And he has those quick players that can interchange around him. You know, Walcott being out of the team has affected us quite a lot, which is something I didn't think I'd say. Him coming back in has been a big plus and it really helps Alexis in his game. I think Perez has been really unlucky not to start more games because every game he's impressed me. He seems very intelligent. He's hardworking. You know, you saw the shot again tonight. He's always trying to make something happen. And I think that is our best front three. And there's certain players who are of an ability and a level that sometimes you just have to go, you know what, I'll accommodate. Someone brought up a really good thing in the chat. I can't remember who it was, but talking about Giroud, you know, he was playing that badly that he got hooked for a winger. You know, that's not a great sign. People, like I've made the point before about Aaron Ramsey, how he would work better if we had played 4-3-3, but then you're not going to change the system to suit Aaron Ramsey over Mesut Ozil. Which makes perfect sense because Mesut Ozil is the better player. So why would you start Olivier Giroud when, no offence to Giroud, I like him. I think he's a very good squad player. I think he's great to have at the club. I think he offers a lot for us, not just going forwards, but defensively as well when he's in our own box, helping out with corners. But your best forward is clearly Alexis Sanchez. So why would you not start him? It doesn't make sense to play him on the left tonight at all. I don't get it. If you want to give him a night off and have him fully rested for Chelsea, don't play him. You don't need to. You know, we should have been able to beat Watford tonight without Alexis in the team, to be perfectly honest. But if he's in the team, play him in his best position. You do it for Ozil. You do it for certain players. You know, not everyone gets their best position. I understand that. You can't always. But just give him his best position and then you'll get the most out of him. I really don't understand it. But he was really frustrating tonight. And I just thought, in these are the sort of games where sometimes you can come away from it afterwards and you go, right, the midfield is useless. The wide men weren't good enough. The defence was all over the place. But Alexis really, really tried and he really tried to make a difference and everything. And we've seen that a couple of times this season, you know, where he's been the one sort of shining light in it. And he wasn't tonight. He was really, really disappointing. And the more these sort of things happen and these sort of results happen, whether he performs or not, it's more likely that he's to go, you know what, I'm not so sure about signing that contract and staying here because this keeps on happening. And the same thing with Mesut Ozil. We all know that he can disappear in games. And I thought tonight as well, he was poor again. But you keep getting these results. They're not going to sign a deal. They're not going to stay. And that limits your opportunity. You know, we're already limited in the way that we can really compete for the title, I think, as it is. And you lose players like that, it's just going to make it even harder.
Yeah, I agree on Mesut again as well. And, you know, it's not a knock on Mesut because it is a knock, but it's not I'm not blaming him. But he requires the midfielders to be playing well to get the best out of him. And he needs those runs in front of him to get the best out of him. And there was all too frequently not happening tonight. And it just, yeah, it didn't seem to click. One other player before we tackle the Ramsey issue, because I'm sure people want us to talk about that. Ellis, what do you make of the situation in sort of Coquelin's position? you know, I completely hold my hands up. I do rate Francis Coquelin. I think, yes, he's, you know, he's a very limited player in what he can do with the ball. But there's, I watched a very good piece on him the other day with some video clips of how many goals have actually come as a result of him sort of making interceptions in midfield and feeding the ball to the more creative players. And that's what he's good at. When he is played further forward, it doesn't work for me. But he is one of those players, I think, keen to get your thoughts on this. Is he a player that has to have a Santi Cazorla type of player with him to get the best out of him? And we've all sat on this podcast and said, you know, we miss Santi. And I agree, we do massively. But I think we also miss the right partner to get the best out of Coquelin. What do you sort of think of that position and Coquelin as a performer himself at the moment?
Well, firstly, I think even if Santi Cazorla was in the team today, the way we played, I don't think he really would have helped, no matter how much he sort of compliments Coquelin and Coquelin vice versa to him. I don't think it would have made much of a difference. But that midfield too is all about sort of partnerships and combinations. And Coquelin and Ramsey, to me, don't really work. Coquelin, like you said, he's good at what he does, but he is very limited. He's sort of a destroyer. He'll pick up the ball, he'll win tackles, he'll get interceptions, but he needs someone there always sort of by his side who he can rely on to sort of pass the ball and then let them be creative, and he'll sort of take up that area again, those spaces, maybe offer the easy option if the guy there can't find anyone else. But other than that, that's sort of the best you're sort of getting to get from Coquelin. And we've seen him this season sort of maybe been deployed a bit further up the pitch to try and win the ball further up and start attacks a bit better. But even then, that he has contributed to some goals. I think I can go hark back to the game against West Ham when he sort of won the ball quite high in their own half and we started off and got a good goal from it. But equally, you don't want him up there, because if we then lose the ball and he's up there, there's no one else tracking back, especially if you've got Aaron Ramsey, who we've seen today, isn't the fastest or the most paciest player in midfield. So if he's caught on his heels and Coquelin's up the pitch, we're done for, really. But I do as well. I do rate him. I wouldn't go too overboard, though, because if you sort of look at the other sort of top six teams, I don't think he gets in four of them. I don't think he gets in that Chelsea squad. I'm not sure. He might get in the Liverpool squad, but I'm not too sure. He wouldn't get in the Spurs squad. That's just my opinion. People might disagree with me, but yeah, it's hard and it is a worry. Obviously, with Xhaka out for another two more games and Chelsea on the horizon, it is difficult. I saw someone in the chat box saying, obviously, Ramsey's out now. He sort of might have to go with a midfield of Coquelin and Oxlade-Chamberlain. I saw someone say that does scream inexperience. Maybe not from Coquelin's point of view, because he is experienced playing that position. He's been playing that position since he's literally took that position for himself with Santi Cazorla. But it is a worry sort of Oxlade-Chamberlain, no matter how well he did perform in the Southampton game and how sort of well he made a sort of difference when he did come on today. He played a bit better there, but it is difficult. And it is a worry, that midfield, for me, because you've got Santi Cazorla, who God knows what's going on with him. I don't think he'll be back for this season. You can't really rely on someone like that who's now had sort of two seasons now where he's missed big chunks of it. Can't rely on someone like that. And then you've got Aaron Ramsey, who he's got his plaudits. He's also got a lot of people that criticise him and don't like him and have issues with the way he plays. And then you've got Granit Xhaka, who is also me personally. I know he's still quite young, 23, 24. But he needs to sort out his discipline. It's an issue. It's an area where I'm worried about. I think we do need someone in there. And we've always sort of missed a strong athletic type or someone like Kante. Just look at Kante. He was at Leicester. He's helped them win the league. And now he's going to be at Chelsea. I know I'm going to set you off now. But
you are.
You really are. Right, go on then. I'll let you do it.
I'm so, so tired of hearing how good N'Golo Kante is. Honest to God, it is so frustrating. He's very, very good, but just have a look at what he's got at Chelsea to work around him. And as John has quite correctly said on a number of occasions, that formation is built for Kante. And he played at Leicester in a 4-4-2. I see so many people, oh, we could just sign Kante. Oh, yeah, and play him in the wrong fucking position. Brilliant. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I don't mean to rant, but it's so utterly tiresome of people who keep saying, oh, let's just sign somebody because he looks good for another team. We don't play the same fucking formation. We don't play the same style as Chelsea. We don't play the same style as Ranieri. And he's a very limited holding midfielder. All he does with Chelsea is he wins the ball and gives it to people who are very talented, which is exactly the same, by the way, as what Francis Coquelin does for us. Is he the best player in Arsenal's midfield? Absolutely not. Is he the most talented midfielder in our midfield? Absolutely not. Is he very limited? 100%. But in my opinion, and it's just my opinion, we perform better when we have a Coquelin type of player in our midfield. And you know, a thousand people say to me, oh, well, I can prove the stats, prove you. Stick your stats up your ass. Watch the game. Okay. Just watch the game and watch when we perform at our best. The combination that's worked best over the last 2 years has been Cazorla and Coquelin. Cazorla's not there at the moment. And let's be realistic about it. I completely agree with Jason. Davies, this is, you know, we have to look beyond Santi. I fucking adore that man. He's absolutely quality, but he's injured and seriously. He's probably not going to come back to the level that we all hope he's going to come back to. We have to move on from Santi Cazorla. And the only way we're going to move on from him is if we find the right formation and the right selection and the right people to play in the right positions in that midfield. And to just, it's just such a lazy, I play football manager, I play FIFA, I'll just sign all the best players who play for all the best teams. That'll work. Newsflash, people, it doesn't work. And, you know, you can sit there and say that you can sign these players. Absolutely brilliant. Yeah, no worries at all. That's fantastic. Well, ask Hatem Ben Arfa how that's working out at PSG. Just as one example, one player could be brilliant at one club and then he can go to another club and be played completely out of position. If you want to pick on a player who's, you know, ideal for Arsenal's system, funnily enough, he's sat on PSG's bench at the moment. He's called Gregor Kvaratskhelia. If you want to sign a player who can do the job that Francis Coquelin can do and a lot better, go and sign him. But we didn't, and we haven't. So let's move on. Sorry, but I had to get
very
off my
sorry chair. For getting that started, everybody. Well, I wasn't saying we should have signed Kante, but I'm just saying, like, or making the point that probably Coquelin wouldn't get into any other sort of team. But I do agree with you. Coquelin and Kante are very similar players and do very similar jobs. I'm not saying he'd work with Coquelin at Arsenal. I wasn't saying that. I was just sort of making
there
the point.
There is a Coquelin huge difference. Get into another team. So there is a huge difference between Kante and Coquelin, and that's that Kante does the job he's told to, and Coquelin, for some reason, is being told to run into the opposition's box this season.
Thank you, John.
I've got no idea why. I've got no problem with Coquelin in our midfield if he sits in front of the back four. Stop, go wandering up the pitch. It does my fucking head in. He can't do it. You saw him tonight. Every time he gets the ball on the edge of the box, he's confused. He's rushed. He doesn't know what to do. He either gives it away or he slashes at it and, you know, it goes out for a throw-in. It's so irritating. Just go back to what you were good at doing, which that must come from the manager.
I completely agree.
That's down to the manager. If Conte was telling N'Golo Kante to run up the pitch, everyone would absolutely be ripping into him how awful he is, because he can't do that. That's not his game.
And when he does, look at what he does with the ball when he does win it high up. Yeah. He looks at Eden Hazard and goes, you're a lot better than I am. Have the ball. You know, his work rate and all that, absolutely brilliant. I can't fault that. But can anyone fault Coquelin's work rate? I'm sure somebody will. But for me, you know, he always worked hard. But...
His performances this season, for me, are all down to the manager, to be honest.
Mm. Yeah, I agree with you. I completely agree with you.
It's down to...
I think who he's playing with as well, not just Coquelin. Like we said, he's limited and he needs that sort of, like we say, Cazorla is his best partner for Coquelin, and we haven't had that for massive periods of this season.
In the midfield, we've got, when he's available, which is fine, but whoever he plays next to is better on the ball than Coquelin. I think we can all agree with that, whatever the midfielder is, pretty much. So why Wenger has seen the need for him to push so high up the pitch doesn't make any sense. Also, why he does it when we have Giroud up front, when we don't press at all. When we've got Alexis in that front three and it's really fast and rapid, we've pushed a lot more and pressed higher up the pitch in the way that Spurs have done and Liverpool and other teams this season. And if you're doing it there, it's a bit different because you want to win the ball back high up as possible and try and force the error and get the goal quick, turn it over. But there's games where we're playing Giroud up front. We're clearly not going to press because it's not Giroud's game. It's not what he's good at. And he's still really high up the pitch. He's like, I've seen him where he's passed Ozil at times. It's just, it really just does my head in.
It does. And another prime example of players, you know, people sit and people say, like, at the moment, one of the, you know, most informed players in European football is Steven Nzonzi. Now, can you imagine what people would have said if Arsenal would have broke the bank for Steven Nzonzi at Stoke? And now he's one of the best midfielders in Europe. So it just goes to show that some players suit formations, manager systems, and others just don't. And I think the one thing that Arsene Wenger is very guilty of, and he is very guilty of this, is overrating his own players. I think he's very guilty of that. And I think, to be honest, if you sat him down in the cold light of day and asked him the truth, he'd probably admit that. I think he's very, very... steadfast in his views on certain players, and I think he has this obsession with thinking that he can turn an average player into a world-class player. And there have been examples, Thierry Henry, Patrick Vieira, where he can do that, but I think right now, trying to turn Coquelin into an all action, winning the ball back high up the pitch, yes, he can do that, but if he can't then distribute it correctly, I completely agree with you, John. He's not playing in the right position. I totally agree. And apologise if I sound patronising. You know, this is how I talk. I'm sorry if that's the way people feel, but I'm as passionate as anybody and I've supported this club long enough to be the way I am. So apologies.
Long time.
Yeah. 50 years, apparently, Ennis, if you believe some people.
Come on, I want to know. You want to get your Ramsey bashing out the way. Go on, get on with it.
I was just going to go on to that now. Well, I just want to get some thoughts, really. I mean, I've made my mind up on him. For me, he's never going to be an Arsenal player. And that's not a snap decision. That's not something I'll come to on the basis of tonight. I think he had that brilliant season when we played him in the right, coming back to systems again, played him in the right system, in a team that suited his, a Mesut Ozil-less team, let's be honest. And he was brilliant. And make no bones about it, Aaron Ramsey is a brilliantly talented, gifted footballer. I just don't think he will ever be that at Arsenal. I just don't. I think the ship has sailed, and I'm particularly concerned about this injury record now. It's getting beyond the joke now. I appreciate that he's come back from obviously that career-ending injury. That's not his fault, and anyone that says it is a moron. But he just can't stay fit, and it's Don would be better to qualify to speak on this than me. But it's the same old injury, soft tissue, calf, hamstring. And, I don't think he trusts his own body anymore. Ellis, you made the point. I'll bring you in first of all. You made the point about his tracking back for the goal. Again, I'm not medically qualified, but I don't think he runs anywhere near at the sort of freedom that he should. He always seems to be almost clogged up. And I keep hearing people say he's got a magnificent engine. And I agree, but not if he's not using it correctly. And I just feel like something is not right. And I do honestly think now that, if it's a choice between cashing in and maybe giving Jack Wilshere one last chance, I've got to be honest, I think I'm in that boat. Where do you stand on it?
I think I'm a bit more on the fence than you, surprise, surprise. But it's just, I do agree with you. He's had a lot of injuries and it does seem like he's never been fast anyway. Before the injury, he was never like massively fast, but like the tracking back today was just like so slow. Like I think Per Mertesacker could probably track back quicker than he was tracking back. And like you said, I don't know if it is due to the injury that he's had and if he is just generally not sure if his body can cope running that fast. But even when he came off today, like I think, I don't know how it happened. I didn't really see much of it properly, but it looked like the ball hit him in the leg and it hurt him. Like it is worrying when that happens to a player and he is so frequently injured. He never seems to be able to go continuous stints in the team without breaking down with some sort of soft tissue injury. And it is a massive worry. I don't know if I'm quite in the camp like you, I've said, and I'd rather give Wilshere a try than him, because I know he's doing all right at Bournemouth and he hasn't got injured, but sod's law would be he'll come back to Arsenal and then he'll get crunched by someone because he's held onto the ball for too long, because he doesn't get as much time and space as he does in the Bournemouth team compared to what the Arsenal team gets. And then he's out for the rest of the season. So it is difficult to say, but I do find it funny. Like I do rate Ramsey, but it does make me chuckle when people say that he could play for Real Madrid or he could go, or he's worrying. He'll say in an interview that he couldn't turn down move to Barcelona because that's where he'd like to go. It's another step in his career. It's like, mate, you ain't getting the Barcelona team.
I agree. I don't think he'll ever have that issue to worry about somehow.
Yeah. I don't know if we would need, if the option came to cash into him. I'd be interested to see what sort of teams would be in for Aaron Ramsey and where he'd fit in, whether it would be a top six team or not. I'm sure there's teams that could probably utilise him, but he does need to improve. And it's always the same thing with Aaron Ramsey, in my opinion. He doesn't do the simple things enough, and he tries the fancy things a bit too much, and they don't come off. And that's what frustrates me. If he just, because he's not young anymore. He's not experienced. He's been in and out of the team. He's had a really good season before where those sort of things were coming off. But it's just, sometimes you just need to sit, literally pick up the ball, play a simple pass, not a back heel, not a fancy flick. Just do the simple things. I'm sorry if I'm going to upset a few people by saying that, but he does need to sort it out. And it is, like I said, for me, a worry, the midfield. Something needs to happen, whether it's a change of formation or a change of personnel, but something needs to happen in that centre midfield because we're a bit too easy to walk through sometimes.
Yeah, I agree. And John, I want to sort of pick up on something that Ellis brought up there in the kind of, well, not the word, but I'll use the word development. You know, obviously we saw how good a player Ramsey could be in that fabled season, but you know, we have to accept that was a number of years ago now. And this season in particular, and back end of last season, he has become a scapegoat. And I think some people do almost rely on their blindness. You know, people have agendas sometimes. I think people get stuck in that, and even if a player had an absolutely brilliant game, they refuse to see the wood for the trees. You know, I do rate him as a footballer, but what I want to ask you about is tapping into your sort of knowledge of you know, watching games across Europe as I do. If you look at the comparisons, you look at someone like Thiago Alcantara at Bayern Munich, Marco Verratti at PSG, I'm trying to think of an example in Italy. Maybe you could use Pjanic. Players that have had good starts to careers but have learnt and have got better to adapt their game, you know, have taken their game on a stride every season, have improved as players. Do you sort of share the concern I have that arguably Aaron Ramsey's career is starting to head at least sideways, or even worse, backwards, the longer he stays in a team that is just not built for him?
This really fucking annoys me.
And I was a bit loaded, I'm sorry.
No, not the question, though, the whole Ramsey thing in general. As to your question, yeah, I don't think the team suits him best. I think he probably works better in a three-man midfield than he does in a two. This, make no bones about it, we don't play 4-2-3-1. We've basically been playing 4-4-2 this season, really, or 4-2-2-2, if you like. Ozil was basically played as a second striker the majority of the season. He only really plays as a 10 when Giroud starts. Everyone goes on about the 13-14 season when Ramsey got all the goals. One of his best seasons, he played right wing when Santi Cazorla was playing next to Francis Coquelin in midfield. That was the best run I think we've had in the last 2 years in the league. And he was playing there the whole time. And I was so miserable with him playing there. It really fucking annoyed me because it's not his best position. But he did loads of work there. He got goals, he got assists, he tracked back, he defended. He hasn't had one consistent position at Arsenal ever since he's been at the club. He got all the stick before, after the injury and everything else, which was ridiculous. And like you say, oh, you can't keep a player off the back of one good season. Well, it's not just one good season. That one season, he got a lot of goals. The previous season, he played right wing all the time and was our best right winger. Better than Theo Walcott, who everyone absolutely fucking loves, by the way, who, you know, who's really quick and is actually a proper right winger. He did even better than him. Jack Wilshere, the big hero of the club, everybody loves him, great fanboy, had one good game against Barcelona how many years ago? And people want to bring him back when he's on loan at Bournemouth and he's played, what, two decent games for Bournemouth. Have you watched Bournemouth this season? Are you serious? I know we, you know, fucking nearly cocked up there and we were three goals down. But if you watch Bournemouth and Jack Wilshere was never an Arsenal player, you wouldn't look at him and go, oh, you know what, I really want to sign him for Arsenal. You're having a fucking laugh. But you're seriously deluded. I'm not disagreeing that the system we've got at the moment does not suit him. That's true, it really doesn't, you know. It's, but to say that he's waste, you know, it's a waste of time having him at the club is absolutely ridiculous. And the other thing with the injuries as well, yes, I agree, he's injury prone. He's more injury prone than Wilshire. All of Wilshire's injuries were all impact injuries. They're all breaks. They weren't calves. They weren't soft tissue injuries, which you can ask, you know, you can ask Dom about, all that kind of thing. But every time he comes back from injury, he gets rushed straight back into the team. He gets forced to play 90 minutes. He gets asked to play too many games instantly, just like Oxlade-Chamberlain has as well. And what happens? They get injured again because they don't get time. They don't get eased back into the team. Certain players will get back eased back in nicely, like Danny Welbeck and people like that, because Wenger doesn't really like him. He's not that keen on him. Ramsey loves him, but because he loves him, he overuses him, and then he gets injured again. The kid can't win. And to be perfectly honest, I'd hate it to see him leave because I think he's wonderful. I think he's honestly got the ability to be easily one of the best midfielders in Europe. But if he stays at Arsenal, it probably will wreck his career whilst Wenger's there, because the manager will abuse him wrong and all the fans will get on his back and give him stick, and it's fucking disgraceful. There's people cheering when he went off injured today. Fucking absolute scumbags, honestly, all of them. It really is. As much as like losing a game winds me up and everything, but I expect it now. But people doing that, you're a disgrace. You're not a football fan. You can fuck right off as far as I'm concerned.
Mm, I do agree with
you. The chat box saying they wish he was out for the whole year. It is ridiculous. Like, whatever your qualms with a player, at the end of the day, they're an Arsenal player. You should be getting behind them 100% until the end of the season and more until they leave the club, in my opinion.
And people going on about tonight, he cost us the game. Sorry, to go back to it again. Who else on the pitch had a good game? Was it Ramsey's fault that Gabriel threw the ball to him when he's marked by two players? Was it Ramsey's fault that Coquelin didn't make a tackle, that Mustafi didn't, that Koscielny wasn't aware that Troy Deeney's behind him, that Monreal wasn't in position, that Cech didn't set up his fucking wall properly? Is he in charge of it all? You know, apparently Ramsey's not only a player now, he's the manager. He's got to do everything. Let's have a look. So what did he do tonight? 86% passes. He was on for, 12 minutes? He missed two passes tonight, both of them forwards. What a shame. He cocked up two passes going forwards. Sanchez, who we had a little bit of a dig at, just a little bit. How many passes did he give away tonight? How many does Ozil give away? Oh, it's not Ozil's fault. The player was in the wrong place. Ozil put it in exactly the right place. The player didn't read it right. Fucking does my nut in, honestly. The kid can't do it. If he goes, ends up at somewhere like Real Madrid and becomes a £100 million player, good luck to him. Great. I hope he comes back and laughs in every single one of those fans' faces and just waves his money at them, because that's what I'd do, because he doesn't deserve it.
I agree with large chunks of that, and I think you make a very fair and very passionate defence. For me, and Jace is going to love me saying this, he's not fit to lace Gareth Bale's boots, in my opinion. He's just not. He's not of that level. When you talk about players that have, you know,
I'm not saying he's Gareth Bale. No one's saying.
No.
If someone is saying he's Gareth Bale, then they're an idiot as well. I'm not saying that.
But what I mean by that is to say that he would be or could potentially go to a club of that standing. And I mean,
why can't he go to Real Madrid? Who plays in that midfield? Casemiro plays in that midfield. He's no wonderful footballer. Didn't Thomas Gravesen go and play for Real Madrid? You're comparing him to Thiago Alcantara, who's a completely different midfielder. You're comparing him to Marco Verratti, who again is a totally different midfielder.
But look where they're playing.
It's not the same thing. You look at someone. Okay, you want to compare a Bayern Munich midfielder. Arturo Vidal gets up and down the pitch, throws in tackles and scores goals. What did Aaron Ramsey do in his best season? Did exactly the same thing. Arturo Vidal is an older player. He's been at bigger clubs, all right, and he's used to it. And he hasn't had anywhere near the injuries that Aaron Ramsey has had. And also, he's played his entire career in the same position. When has Ramsey run a 3-4 games in the same position? He hasn't.
So genuine question then, you would have Ramsey over Vidal?
I would only have Vidal on our team if we changed the system. Yeah. It wouldn't make sense. Why would you go and buy Arsenal over Vidal? Would I have him over Vidal? Well, in the league, yeah, because he's more experienced. The other thing as well.
I'd have across the channel myself, but you know.
No, that's fine.
I'm
just saying similar top. I'm not saying he's exactly the same type of player. I'm saying players playing the same position. It really does my head in. You're comparing completely different midfielders. You're playing totally different systems.
But that's not strictly true, because Thiago Alcantara has played the Santi Cazorla role this season. He's played deeper.
Yeah, but
and he's been absolutely. He's been the Bundesliga's best player this season by a mile.
Yeah, that's because Thiago Alcantara is that type of player. Aaron Ramsey's never proclaimed to be a Santi Cazorla.
No, but he does want to play centrally. And I think what Ellis was saying...
He wants to play centrally because it is his best position. In our system, I don't think it is, because unfortunately we don't play a system that suits him.
Mm. So you would go, you would have the three-man midfield, so you would have him as one of the three
not,
in the centre?
Not in every game. I think you can quite easily play Ramsey and Xhaka as centre-mids. In the games where they played together, they looked very good. Right, Xhaka got sent off and he was an idiot. But they looked very good together. Ozil was playing more of a number 10. It was good. You know, in the big games, I think you have to sacrifice Ozil and say, sorry, you're out on the wing. You don't do enough in midfield. You don't help. Ramsey in there with Xhaka, and you can have Coquelin as well. And Coquelin is the defensive one. You've got Ramsey and Xhaka on the ball. You can't afford to have Ozil in midfield in the big games. If we play Ozil at 10 against Chelsea, we'll get slaughtered in midfield. Absolutely slaughtered. You'll see, I guarantee in that game, you'll see he'll start drifting out to the wing because he'll get bullied in midfield and he won't show up. And fans will get on his back a bit and he'll try and make out like he's doing something. So he'll drift out to the wing to go and get the ball because he won't be able to hack it in the middle because he can't.
I guess the big issue with Aaron is, I suppose we're almost at that point that we were at with Theo Walcott, you know, with Oxlade-Chamberlain. And I suppose this is kind of indicative of the whole problem here. How long do you give certain players? You and I can sit here, us three can sit here until we're blue in the face and say, you know, under Arsene Wenger, he's not going to change or he's not going to be played or the system's wrong, blah, blah, blah. The fact is, as long as whatever anyone wants to say, if Arsene Wenger is in control of the club and manages the club, he will pick the formation we play and he will put the players where he wants to play them. And if he's going to continue doing that, do you, you know, that I guess that's where we have to sort of step back and go, well, whatever we think of the player, however good a player he could be, it's not working. I mean, even you would admit at the moment, surely, it is not working. And
yeah, I agree. I think he looked good next to Xhaka, and I thought that was a decent partnership that was starting to build. But I don't think, I think we've all seen many, many times that, you know, Coquelin and Ramsey doesn't work. We know that. We know it's not going to work.
Yeah. It's, I mean, it's a difficult one. I mean, it's one that will run a run. I mean, it, you know, it's, everyone's got an opinion. The one thing I think I completely agree with you on is, you know, the people that abuse players. I don't care who it is, to be fair. You know, it could be Aaron, it could be anyone. If all you do is abuse players, and the one of the people I really can't get my head around, I was watching a video of somebody at the ground tonight, at the ground, filming himself ranting. And I was just like, why do you go? Why do you go to football? What's the point of that? You know? And you see people sort of constantly, I mean, obviously the odd tweet throughout a game, you expect that. But you see people just constantly tweeting throughout a game, slating players, player, you know. It's like, why do you even watch the games? Like, do you even bother taking into consideration your opinion? And people have to remember, you know, we're doing this, what, an hour after a game that we've lost against a team that, let's be honest, we shouldn't even be anywhere near losing to. You know, we should be dispatching teams like Watford, with all due respect, which is a stupid phrase because I'm giving them no respect at all. But we should be beating teams like that at home and comfortably. And when you lose games like this, you know, things get heated and that's what provokes debate. And, you know, that's what we've done here. I agree with a lot of the points both of you have made. And my personal opinion, it's just my personal opinion. You know, I'm in a situation where if you can genuinely upgrade on a player, you know, of Aaron's level, I think you do it. Can we upgrade? That's a whole different question for a whole different day. And I agree with you, John, as well. Maybe under a different manager, he could play a different role and it could all click. Equally, he could have gone to Man United. It could have been the same thing. So we'll never know. We'll never know. But We'll take some questions in a second to finish up because, frankly, my head hurts. But before we do, Alice, I just want to get your views very quickly on one other player. There's a lot of call for Lucas Perez to start games at the moment. I know you're a bit of a fan. My question to you is, if you're going to start him, who do you take out of the side? Because for me, you know, Iwobi has played through a very poor spell of form and, you know, and I think deservedly is in the team at the moment. Theo Walcott's just coming back into form, fitness form. You know, he's obviously he was sharp at the weekend. And you've got Alexis, even if you move him up front, you've still got to cram these players into positions. So would you be fast tracking him into the system now and starting him? And if so, where would you be putting him? At the expense of whom, I should say?
Yeah, I get to talk.
Sorry.
Sorry, I was enjoying it. I was like,
just going to go call off.
We can talk over you again if you want.
No, I want to talk now, please. Thank you.
go for it.
Yeah, I'm a fan of what I've seen of Lucas Perez when I've seen him play. He played really well, I thought, in the Southampton game and the other games when he's played. He's got a hat-trick this season in the Champions League. And he was literally, like I said, a couple of inches away from banging us back into it with that goal when it thundered straight off the post or the crossbar even. But saying all that, like you said, how do you fit him in? We have got, like, as negative as this result is, on a positive side, we can change things up in the front three and the forwards. We've got a lot of forward players there that we can change things around with. The question is it the time to do it against Chelsea? In my opinion, for this upcoming game against Chelsea, like I've said previously, I'd want Sanchez up front. I wouldn't have Giroud on the pitch. I'd have him on the bench. And I'd have, like, Walcott on the right and maybe Iwobi or Welbeck on the left and just have them sort of free, sort of flowing, changing interchange of positions. If Sanchez is going to do his usual drift off, then let Walcott or someone come in a bit central, or Welbeck coming a bit central, and just give the defenders a torrid time. With Lucas, though, what I've liked about him when I've seen him is he seems to get on with players quite well. Like the assist for Danny Welbeck in the Southampton game, considering those two have never played with each other that much. Obviously, they probably played with each other in training and maybe the occasional game when they've both been on the pitch, but it can't be that much at all. There was a good connection there. It was a good pass to put him through like that. And there's been glimpses of that with other players. So I think it'd be interesting to see him play, not against Chelsea, in my opinion, but I would like to see him get a bit more game time and see if he can contribute a bit more, because he looked good today and he's looked good when I've seen him play before.
Well, don't count your chickens, Alice, because we're one injury away from you being in midfield. So, you know,
someone did say in the chat actually that Ellis looked a bit like Fabregas. So there you go. He could wear the shirt.
if he's anywhere near the quality of Fabregas, he can step in for my money. That's absolutely fine.
Sadly, I'm closer to the quality of a Boué, but hey ho.
Yeah.
He got to right mid at one point, so you never know.
You get what you pay for, I suppose. Okay, let's finish with some questions then. Jesus, my head is pounding. John, do you want to rattle through the questions for us? You can pick out a few for yourself if you like as well. I know there's one for you anyway.
Yeah, there's a couple I've already taken out. So if you've got any questions, just quick fire them in. We've got about 5-10 minutes tops till we finish. Jason Davies, hello. Why doesn't the manager change the setup to suit our players and opponents? Chris.
Oh God. I think he does, to be honest. And you know, I know Jason's point and he is right for some second. I think the truth is nobody will ever really know, will they? You know, we never really know. I think the one thing Arsene has always said is that he does, as I said earlier, he does believe in his players. He's not one to sort of go in and make wholesale changes. He does believe in his philosophy. And to a degree, that's admirable. You know, so Alex Ferguson made a pretty decent career out of always sticking to his, you know, his same tactics, as it were. I think it's the modern era that is the problem for Arsene, because you do see a lot of these coaches who do change tactics for certain games, change formations for certain games. But you'll know well, John, you know, it took Antonio Conte to get absolutely stuffed at our place to realise that he had to play the formation that he always knew was probably the right one to play. So sometimes players and managers sort of stick with what they think is going to work, and ultimately it doesn't, and it makes them change. And we were always 4-4-2 under Arsene Wenger until, you know, the sort of modern era, if you will. And we had that 4-4-1-4-1 nonsense, which didn't work. And I do think if you look at our squad right now, that the formation we play is the right one. You know, I don't buy into this 3-5-2 nonsense. For me, it wouldn't suit us, and we haven't got the players to play it anyway, in my opinion. And I do think he changes tactics for games, but unfortunately, sometimes the players do let him down. And equally, sometimes he does pick the wrong players. So, you know, he's only human, and yeah, we'll just never properly know what gets done pre-game. So it's hard to comment, but I do take on board what Jay says there.
Fair point. Question for the panel. I think Ellis has already answered this, but should we play Welbeck against Chelsea? I think Ellis said he wanted to start with Welbeck. Chris, for you, would you start Welbeck?
Not a chance. Absolutely no chance. I know why people are saying that. He looks sharp. And he did. And Danny Welbeck is a very talented player. But this is a guy who's come back. People, again, short memories. He's had a year of football missing. You know, can you imagine those Chelsea defenders? They'd be absolutely licking their lips. And one, you know, one challenge through the back of him and he's out for another year. You can't risk it. I'd love to see him get, you know, 20, 30 minutes and, you know, potentially if we need to find a goal or, you know, if we're looking to protect a lead and, you know, have him on the breakaway, absolutely. But start, nah, no way near. Not for a game of this level. The next time I'd like to see him start is Sutton in the FA Cup, depending on that pitch, which is another myth, by the way. But yeah, I don't think you start him in a level of game of this, no way.
Yeah, it's tough. I personally, yeah, I think he's a little bit too soon back from his injury. But I do agree with Ellis, though. I would like to see a fast front three, so Alexis, Walcott and probably Perez over Iwobi, I think, which is really harsh on Iwobi. It's really difficult to pick between the two because I thought Iwobi, as bad as everyone was tonight, he did come back much better in the second half and obviously he got the goal and he was always trying to make something happen. And it'd be a bit harsh to drop him, but Perez has certainly done enough maybe to get in the team. Janu asked John's views on being linked with Allegri. Yeah, he's a very good manager. He's doing amazing things at Juve. I've seen a few people say, well, it's easy with the team he's got. Well, he still had to bring players in. He had to deal with, you know, Pirlo leaving, Vidal, most of the midfield being ripped out, Pogba going, obviously. Brought in a big name like Higuain and managed to get him, Dybala, Mandzukic and Pjanic and Cuadrado all into the team without conceding goals, which is pretty impressive. So I think he's a really good manager. He can play different systems. He changes his setup four games from game to game, which is nice, which is something I don't think we do enough. So he's someone I definitely have. One for Ellis from Pooja6849. Do you think anything will change with, I think they're supposed to say Wenger gone, but winger gone.
What winger? Of course things are going to change if Wenger goes, because there'll be a different manager with probably different tactics and different views and his own sort of way that he wants to play the game. So, yeah, I think, of course, things are going to change. I don't know if he's in hidden with that question, whether our position or whether we'll win more trophies is going to change. It's difficult. I think, for me, I don't like... you've just talked about Allegri. I don't know if he'll be good, but people could say the same thing about Conte before he joined Chelsea and look how he's doing. I know a completely different team and resources and everything, but we shouldn't really count anyone out of it if we are linked with anyone, because you never really know until they get their hands on the team and if they can get their philosophy into the players and get them playing. Me personally, I don't want to go too much into Wenger in or out, but I'd like a change just because it's been the same for so long. But it doesn't necessarily mean that's the right reason to change. We could very well do sort of what United have been doing and getting in sort of someone like David Moyes or Louis van Gaal. I know he won the FA Cup last season, but still, they could potentially come in and we could drop out of that top four. We could do worse. There is that, like, that can happen. I don't know, it's difficult. I'd say personally, in terms of, like, the players we can afford in terms of our finances, I'd probably say we are. I know it's a joke, but in the league, there are three teams above us that have a lot more money. Like Man United, they haven't been in the Champions League and they've bought an 89 million or however many million pound player there. Like, they can still attract players because they simply have that amount of money. Us, on the other hand, we can't really afford to do that. I can't see us ever doing something like that. So I think whoever we get in is still going to struggle, because there are three teams, maybe even four teams out there that can spend more money on us and attract players with the amount of money that they have. So it will be difficult to say whether someone will succeed or not, but I would like a change.
Fair enough. Just a couple more before we finish then. One from Oscar Arias for you, Chris. Should we go guns blazing against Chelsea or park the bus?
Can we just not play that game? Is that possible? Can it get rained off or something? No, I mean, it's difficult. I watched a bit of Liverpool tonight as well, and I think they had it largely right for long periods. I think the thing is, we're going to have to be realistic and know that we are very likely to concede against Chelsea. I would like to see us sitting on the fence a little bit. I'd like to see us do a bit of both. I'd like to see if we can hold them at arm's length for half an hour, 35 minutes, something like that, and then see if we can get in front before half time. I know it's a bit of a cliche, but I think you can score too early. The Man City game was a prime example of that. So I'd like to sort of see us keep, keep the ball, just keep the ball away from them and maybe play around them a little bit for the first half hour or so and try and get the crowd quiet, which shouldn't be too difficult at Scunford Ditch. And then hopefully sort of do a little bit of a smash and grab. But equally, I don't think, I'm sure you'll agree, I don't think we're good enough to just sit and defend for 90 minutes. And I do think, there'll be goals in this game because, Chelsea have got a lot of attacking talent, as much as it grips my shit to admit it. And I don't back our defence, to keep them out for 90 minutes. So I think a high scoring draw, if you offered it me now, I'd take it. But, as you said pre-pod, John, it would be just like us now to rock up and smash them 4-1. That would just be so typically Arsenal. Yeah, I'd like to see us be a bit cagey, take our chances and then see where we get from there. But I think we all know that it'll probably be goals early and that'll all go out the window.
Okay, two last ones very quickly, sort of tied into that. If Oxlade-Chamberlain and Aaron Ramsey are both injured, this is from Brendan, would you put Iwobi next to Coquelin in midfield or would you go with someone else? That's the both of you. So Chris first, if they're both out injured for the game, who'd you stick next to Cock?
Do you know what? To be honest with you, I changed the system. Because I don't think you can't throw a Maitland-Niles in for obvious reasons. I think he's too young and too inexperienced. I don't think Iwobi, he's a very good, very talented number 10, but I don't think he's particularly adept at playing actual central midfield. So I would actually be inclined to change the system to a flat 4-5-1. And I would put Coquelin directly in front of the back four and only in front of the back four, I have to stress. and then I would, and I'd probably put Iwobi and another next to him. I'm trying to think through our squad. If Oxlade-Chamberlain's injured, Christ on a bite, we're short, aren't we? Is that transfer window still open? Can we go and get someone?
We've got 40 minutes left, yeah.
Okay, good stuff. Got there by players. Who else could say? Maybe even Mesut Ozil. Put Ozil and Iwobi as almost a double pivot in front of Coquelin and then put two wide players out in the sticks and then put Giroud as a target man potentially. So you'd probably be looking at Alexis and Walcott as wide men and Giroud as a target man. I don't think there's any way in the world that he doesn't start Giroud, however much that will piss people off in the chat room. I'm sure it will. But I think that's where he'll play. I don't see who else you could play. I really don't. I think you can't throw a kid in. Jason just put Bielik there. I don't think you can. You can't throw in a kid at that age. Who else is there?
The only other thing
put
I
Xhaka
think
in a wig and pretend we signed a new player.
That's one chance. The only other person I could think of was Rob Holding. If you put him in front and he sort of sat in front of the two centre backs and Coquelin was another defensive midfielder helping out next to him, maybe at the last.
I suppose you could, and this is full rogue, you could look at bringing Mertesacker into the back four and Mustafi in front, I suppose. I'm not sure how I'd feel about that, but I mean, you could do that.
Maybe desperate enough that we have to do something like that.
We know
it looks like Ramsey's most likely going to be out for the game, and Oxlade-Chamberlain was obviously limping towards the end of the second half. He seemed to run it off a little bit, but that kind of, it looked like a muscle injury. I don't know. So whether he's going to be available for Chelsea, hopefully, fingers crossed he is. But I also don't want him to play if he's going to get blown out after 20 minutes and has to come off and then, you're bringing someone off the bench cold. So it's going to be difficult.
And there's the flip side to that argument as well, is that if you're, we have no choice now but to play Francis Coquelin in pretty much every game for the next, 2-3 weeks, which increases the risk of him being burnt out as well. Because obviously the more football you're being forced, and it's not like the position he plays is a wide man. You get a bit of time off the ball, you get a bit of time to recharge your batteries. And the position Coquelin plays, you have to be at it for 90 minutes constantly. And if he's being asked to do that, whereas before he's been rotated in and out of the squad throughout the season, we now need him to play every game. And I'm looking at our squad now, and bar Jeffrey and Adelaide, who's another offensive type of player, I think you're right. I think we are looking at Rob Holding in midfield, and I like the kid, but Jesus, that's
a big ask. Again, obviously, we don't know definite about Oxlade-Chamberlain That's
no true.
That's just true. You know, you've just seen him. He was limping. He was limping for a long period, but he seemed okay towards the end of the game. But you don't know what sort of effect that's going to have on him during the week. So apparently, Wenger only said that Ramsey was injured at the end of the match, so he didn't mention the Ox at all. So fingers crossed, he's okay for the Chelsea game at least, and we've got some sort of midfield. Last one then to both of you. And it's from someone called Dom N in the chat. I don't know where he's from. Do you believe we can win another title under Wenger?
God,
any have we got any yeses?
No,
well, I do, but you know that.
So, so a yes and a no.
No, I don't think we can.
The question in itself is mischievous because factually you can't say that we can't because nobody can prove it. Equally, nobody can prove we can. So the question is null and void, cheeky monkey. But
he might leave this season and we won't have won it.
Yeah. Well, that is true. Yeah, fair point. No, we can, but I think all of us, even good old Jeff Arsenal, can all admit he has faults, some massive faults, and I do think that he does have to change some elements of how we play to be able to win a title. But yeah, of course he can. I mean, Chelsea, what did Chelsea finish last season? 10th, was it? And they're going to win the title this year. So, you know, things can change very quickly.
Yeah. Change their manager, they're going to win the title.
so did Manchester United and they're sixth. So, you know, I mean, it's he can. I have to say, I think it's getting less and less likely as time goes on. But yeah, I mean, he can. But it's going to take quite the pickup now, isn't it? Because I think after tonight's result, I think we're all realistic in saying that, you know, it's going to take a massive swing, and even beating Chelsea. I'm not convinced that's enough to put us back into a title race.
Yeah.
Even if Chelsea slip up, it probably won't even be us that fucking capitalise on it, will it?
Well, yeah.
Let's be honest.
And once again, we come back to the same old debate, which we'll continue to have as long as we've got holes in our asses. It's all right, everyone's saying he's got to go. And who do you bring in? Because it's not as simple as that, as you've both touched on. So until we haven't got a manager, I'll back the manager we have. That's all I'm saying on it.
Yeah, I get that. I'll back him, but I honestly don't think we can win the title without him. But with him, sorry. So we shall see. But I think that's everything for tonight. But remember, everyone who's watching, if you give a thumbs up, then Chris will do a sexy little dance. Apparently, if you don't give a thumbs up, then Chris will do an extra sexy little dance that you won't be able to unsee. So you'll be scarred in your memory forever. So you best press the thumbs up button, or you know. We'll send Jason around to give you some Welsh justice. And also, get your boots cleaned up because you might get called up for the midfield because we're missing so many players.
Yeah, true that. Okay, well, we'll draw a line there. As I say, you know, if we have offended anyone, sorry. But, you know, we're all passionate here. We all got views. I'm sure overnight we'll all get a lovely night's sleep and we'll all wake up tomorrow and still be pretty pissed off. But, you know, it is what it is. You can't win every week. That's just the way it is. And, you know, we just have to accept that. So we'll go again. We got Chelsea Saturday. It's the 12:30, isn't it? The early game.
Yeah, got a good record in those, haven't we?
So that's a nice weekend ruiner. Get out of the way early. But no, in all seriousness, we'll be back after Chelsea. Podcast is Thursday. I can't for the life of me remember who's on. Danny will be there doing stuff. I think Jace is hosting this week, so tune in for that. Blogs, I think Drew was due this week. I think if it's not out already, I'm sure it soon will be. But quite frankly,
I think the Reverend Raj is on this week as well, as far as I know.
Oh yes, of course. Yeah, I think Raj is back this week, so I'm sure he will not be holding back. So expect a fiery pod this week, as indeed tonight has been. So my thanks to Ellis and to John, who's off for a little lie down.
Yeah, I need to cool down after that. Get me breath back. It's the most exercise I've had in a week.
I'm saying nothing. thank you again, Ellis, for sitting there and listening to us prattle on for hours.
Thank you. You stopped me from taking a long walk to a tall building and jumping off it. I feel a lot better now.
And of course, do tune in. It's in 10 minutes, Ellis will commence his live hanging. So tune in for that. thank you to everyone who's tuned in. We do appreciate you tuning in. Whatever your views, we respect all of you, except for you, Janu. No, thank you very much for tuning in. Thank you, as always, to Danny and Gimli for making all this possible. This has been ABW Radio. We're all off to find revolvers to put in our mouths. Speak to you soon. Ta-ta.
Stick a pony in me pocket. I'll fetch the suitcase from the van. Cause if you want the best things, but you don't ask questions, then brother, I'm your man. Cause where it all comes from is a mystery. It's like the changing of the seasons and the tides of the sea. But here's the one that's driving me berserk. Why do only fools and horses work? La 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 la. We got some off-price crack ties, some miles of carpet tiles, TVs, deep freeze, and David Bowie LPs, pool games, gold chains, what's names, and Oedipus, and Trevor Francis track suits from a mush and Shepherd's bush. Push, 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 push. No income tax, no VAT, no money back, and no guarantee. Black or white, rich or poor, we'll cut prices at a straw. Dream.